Hey guys, Lance Erlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench. superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench for 50% off all home windows.
Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
It's a second down and three. Jackson takes it himself. Look at him, Turk, back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. Now he's got an entourage, and he's got a touchdown. He is Houdini. What a play. 47-yard touchdown run by the magical quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Wow.
Well, just watch this. Go ahead and freeze it. Just watch Carlos Dunlap.
This Diamond Play of the Week is presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play.
Fella. Steve McKinney, just a little fella right now. He feels like, it's like, hey, why am I down here, all the way down here? He's joining us in studio, the Inside Skinny with Steve McKinney right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great.
You are? How's McDonald's doing?
McDonald's is doing great.
Hey, I think it could take off. I think McDonald's
at some point. It's got a shot.
I think at some point.
It's starting to get seeded in.
It's going to be profitable someday.
People are starting to figure out what it is.
So I want to ask
you, you branding right now?
Yeah, that's me. I'm out here just trying to promote the brand.
Look at Steve's hair now.
I know,
he's got the fancy, nice hair.
I know, look
like, this wasn't the dirt dog that used to come in studio with us whenever he was an offensive lineman.
Nah, I get
that's
these burgers in the toilet.
Being an offensive lineman's a mentality,
it is.
Isn't it?
It is. You know, that's funny. When I was in the NFL, I'd go to like Supercuts. Great clips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing.
Now,
I didn't pay more than $10-$11 for a haircut.
Now it's fabulous.
Like, dude, if I'm not in a salon, like, it's happening. Trust me.
Life after football still good for you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I've just been raising kids and coaching.
Buying McDonald's. How many you got now?
16.
Wait, you do personally?
What?
Yeah, 16.
You've got 16 McDonald's?
Yeah. Where you been, man?
I thought you just had that one that you're just still
16.
Like, let me go in here and look at the till. How we doing? Oh, not bad today. Ching, ding.
All right, I'm off to the golf course.
This McDonald's, you have 16.
16.
Where are they? How many?
Let's see. I got, actually, my closest one is the one over off of Ellen 610 from here. Just picked that one up about 6 months ago. But, man, I'm all over from Cypress out to Channel
View.
So
you buy them off of people, or are they brand new spots?
Most of them are buying them from people.
Yeah.
You know, you get operators that are retiring, getting older in age, usually situations like that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I've got a few different things, and we'll talk some football stuff with you as well. But one of the questions I want to ask you about is kind of a little bit more serious is so I remember talking to – so John and I, back when we were at 1560 in this same room, we had Marcus Coleman started showing – we had him on a weekly basis to talk football. Then he would just start showing up literally every day. Like, he would show up and Marcus was the brand new – I'm not lying. Marcus was basically a brand new co-host.
When you're not getting paid.
He just – no, he wasn't getting paid. Okay. And it wasn't like he was even asking about getting paid. Then I would come up here and Marcus was laying down on a couch out here in the middle of the afternoon. And what it was, and
he
I remember
sleep anywhere. Trust me.
I remember talking to Marcus. He was bored. Life after football.
He was bored.
He didn't know what to do.
I could see that.
So it was interesting talking to him, and that's the first time I really got that particular perspective. You know, you always hear about, boy, you missed the camaraderie, this, that, and the other. And then I started talking to Aaron Taylor, who's become a good friend of mine, who was a former NFL lineman, played at Notre Dame, played
great
in the NFL.
Player,
yeah.
Very good player.
And he's the guy who started the Joe Moore Awards, and I've become really tight with him. And he started telling me, I was mentioning this about Marcus, and he goes, and I didn't know his story. He said, oh, yeah. He said, when I was done, when you finish playing, you think, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to play golf. I'm going to go hunting. Whatever it is that you love to do, I'm just going to do that all the time, and it's going to be great. And he said by year two, if you're not really getting involved in whatever the next facet of your life is, not just recreational stuff, he said you start going through withdrawals of who you used to be. He said the first thing is your identity was tied up. For some people, their identity has been athlete. Right. My identity was athlete. He said he got into drugs, alcohol, just trying to fill the void that he had. And he said what he ended up finding out is that a ton of athletes go through this where they hit a depression because their life, they feel like their life as they knew it is over in the 30s. And they don't know where to go, or they don't have the skills to start a new job or whatever the case may be.
Most professional athletes, after they're done, 4 years later, they're broke. Or in rehab, or divorced.
He said a lot of them in a divorce. A lot of them have alcohol problems or drug problems. I didn't realize that was such a big. I don't know.
How did your rehab go?
Obviously, you're a little different. Well, it seems like, but
food rehab thing, didn't you?
Have you seen elements like that, or are you familiar with anything like that kind of those kind of stories?
Well, yes, Lance, I am familiar with that. No, you know, but it is true when you're. I kind of related a little bit to when you're finishing college football. And there's that 3 or 4 month period before the draft where you think you're going to get drafted. You hope you're going to get drafted, but you're not sure. But you still have that limbo of not knowing where you're going, what you're going to be doing, if you're even going to be playing football. But when you retire from NFL, retire, get cut, people refuse to pay you any longer, whatever you want to call it. It's not really retiring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an official
term.
It's
a forced retirement.
It's like a forced retirement.
Why haven't I gotten a check?
Why wouldn't anybody pay me? But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that feeling of, man, what's next? What am I going to do? Because I probably spent about the last 6 years of my career just planning for life after football.
You did.
Not a lot of guys do that, though.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, for me, it seemed like since day one of the NFL, that's all they kept preaching is how – you know, so many guys are broke, divorced after football, and they don't know what they're going to do with their life. And so I was always thinking about that. That was one of my biggest fears is going broke or being bankrupt. And, you know, I did not want to be a statistic. So I was thinking about that very early on. But even still, you know, things changed. And when I got out of the NFL, I was doing Velocity Sports Performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
you know,
that's
right.
I had a
part of an ownership of the Freebirds World Burritos.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I was trying to I own some commercial real estate property. So I was doing different things, just trying to put my fingers in everything to make sure I could provide an income after football. And a lot of those things were, some were working, some weren't, but it wasn't paying the bills.
Right.
You know, it was not going to be a big long-term successful play for me. So that's where I looked into McDonald's and was like, you know, this is a great brand. There's a high ceiling. You know, you can grow if you run them well and you got the money and the work ethic, you can definitely continue to grow and build a organization. So that's kind of how I got into McDonald's. You know, I just fought and clawed my way into their owner operator program, went through about a year and a half of training and
making fries
and
really doing all that stuff.
Doing it all, man. Making fries, cleaning toilets, picking up trash, doing it all.
Did you run into any old teammates either in Indianapolis or here that had any of the issues that I talked about?
Yeah, you see them. You know, I mean, even when I was still playing, I remember when I was owning Velocity Sports Performance. You know, I would actually get calls from, you know, former teammates that are done playing and looking for a job.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like. It's like, man, you know, this job's not going to pay very much. Not what you're used to, that's for sure.
Everyone assumes that athletes, when they're all done, they've got it made for life. Not, I mean, first of all, your life probably has 40 to 60 more years to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, some of it, I would imagine, some is financial, a big part for a lot of guys who don't treat every paycheck like they're supposed to last. Every paycheck should last you. You're getting, what, 16? How does that work in the NFL? You get 16 total checks?
Well, some get 17.
17.
Some, when I was in Indy, they used to do it every other week, which I
did.
I did not like that.
Really?
No, but here in Houston, yeah, it was every week you got a check.
I didn't even know that's even legal that you could do every other week.
Your best favorite check is the bye week check. You know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, what a great week.
I sat at home all weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got paid.
It's like a vacation.
Art wants to know if you ever got totally polluted with Tony Busby.
totally polluted.
Yeah, you and Tony.
No, I've met Tony a few times.
You
actually hired him once.
He was an Aggie.
You did?
He was. Yeah, he defended me on a little deal one time. Nothing criminal. Not criminal, John. It's not criminal.
Was it a drug deal? What? How did you?
Not a drug deal.
Not a drug deal. Going back?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. All right. 811 ESPN 97.5. The Great American Steve McKinney is in studio with us here on ESPN 97.5. But first, let's talk a little about. Listen. When you were playing, how much testosterone did you need? How many injections did you used to get?
Don't answer. Men's T Clinic. He's setting you up. Men's T Clinic is what he's talking about. And there are 5 locations around the Houston area. Look, they don't have 16 locations like Steve does, but they're getting there. They have 5. I remember when I first started speaking for him back in 2016. In January 2016, I started speaking for him, and they had 1 location. They now have 5, and that's because they are doing such a great job. Word of mouth is traveling so fast. So now in Spring, in Cypress, Pasadena, Pearland, and in the Heights, you have – a lot of guys are going in there either right before the age of 40 or anywhere over the age of 40. And people who have seen a decline in their testosterone, which I saw that happen, which I just thought it was just fatigue. I just thought I was just not getting enough sleep. Well, it turns out, yeah, you're not getting enough sleep and your testosterone levels are lower than they should be. You get that boost when you get your testosterone levels back to where they're supposed to be. It gives you an enormous energy boost, and that's what Men's T Clinic can do for you. Not to mention, it can impact libido positively. It can impact your lean muscle mass, your metabolism. So make sure that you go to mensteaclinic.com and find a location nearest you, mensteaclinic.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here from the bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench. superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench for 50% off all home windows.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. But you guys see, because we've talked so much about that, why is this an afternoon game? LSU and Alabama. LSU, it was the highest-rated regular season game on any network in 8 years.
Are you serious?
A 9.7, 24 house, over 24 household rating share.
How many million
so
people?
So 24 share on this game and a 9.7 rating. Most watched Alabama-LSU game in 8 years, 16.636 million viewers, and season-to-date viewership best in 29 years, up 39%.
That's crazy.
That was a hell of a... Well, here's the deal. And it was up 47% over last year's game. But last year's game, LSU didn't score. Yeah. They were shut out.
Yeah. There's a lot of hype around this game. Tua is a well-known player who's had success, national championship success. And let's face it, I think people still get up for really big games in all sports. I mean, people will tune in for 1 versus 2, the highlight level, you know, if it was going to be Brady versus Mahomes, something like that, or Brady versus Breeze in the right year, people still tune in for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Astros-Yankees did really well.
And that doesn't even count all the sports bars that everybody was watching.
Or the CBS streaming numbers,
yeah, right.
App numbers.
None of it. I mean, there were way more people.
I would tell you that sports bar is not even a drop in the bucket to the streaming app numbers. I saw those numbers the other day, what CBS is doing. It's incredible. CBS has been one of the ones who they figured out, all right, we're going to really get out in front of the cord, cut it, because they've got a lot of sports to offer. They've got NFL football and college football, good college football to offer. And so what they do is they say, okay, you can try it for free for 3 days, and then after that, you're going to get dinged. So when I'm here on my computer watching, I'll just, yeah, let me try it for free. And as soon as I'm done watching my game, I go right into my Apple, you know. I just go into
cancel
the
your
Apple,
subscription.
Cancel subscription immediately.
I didn't realize you had to pay for it. I watch it on CBS Sports app all the time.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah, on the app. Well, wait.
I thought it was free.
Yeah, mine is free, too. I watch it all
Thinking, I'm probably thinking when I watch NFL.
No, no.
Yeah.
NFL, Yahoo is free. NFL is free on Yahoo.
That's right, man. Yeah. My Yahoo Fantasy, I can just watch NFL games for
free. Wait. Yahoo, it's free?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. What about Sunday Ticket?
Sunday, what do you mean?
Why would I pay for Sunday Ticket then?
Because you're dumb. I don't know. What? Because you haven't, you're not caught up.
Yeah, over here speaking the obvious.
Pretty good observation there. So you still, the Ags still get LSU.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving. How's that going to taste?
We'll see. Jimbo with a chance to ruin LSU's season.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be awesome.
Let's not get too cocky there. Well, what's really interesting about A&M's schedule this year is that this will be the third number one ranked team they've played.
Yeah.
In one season.
Wow.
Like, how is that fair? Like, really? He's in his second year trying to build a program, and we got to play three number one teams.
Well,
in the same
year?
Well,
who put Clemson on the schedule anyway?
Then that was like 10 years ago when they were barely 25, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't see that coming.
Well, no. I don't think anybody saw that coming from Clemson. But, this was a brutal. And then you got after the second game of the year, then you got Alabama just a couple of weeks later. And how beat up are you? You know what I'm saying? And so that lasts with you. But I will say this. You know, you got to take care of and then you had Auburn as well, which has got defensive. They're
pretty good.
They're pretty good, too. But you got to take care of the Mississippi schools, and you know what, Jimbo did that, because those are the schools that make or break a season. Because you lose to one of and somebody never beat both Mississippi schools.
No, not since 2012.
Yeah, mm-mm. I mean, so it would. Do you think he's got him on the right track?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know what I like about his teams is that they actually get better as the season goes on. You can see them actually improving on the field.
And he said he's never had a team where he had, on senior day, three seniors.
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
Three.
This is a young team. But it gives you a lot of hope for the future because next year's schedule lays out a lot better. You got a lot of returning starters coming back, including your quarterback. So, you know, this is one of those years you just got to get through it. Don't embarrass yourself. You know, just play competitively. And if you end up 7-5 at a bowl, that's fine.
Yeah.
For this year, that's fine. And then next year, pushing all the chips in.
Do you think that's the majority thought, or hey, we're paying this guy $7.5 million to go 7-5?
No, you know, there's always that fringe element of every fan base that expects your team to, you know, win a national championship every year, regardless of the situation, you know, or compete. I mean, dude, it's just not realistic. I mean, you saw what he had coming back. You saw the schedule. Like, anybody that looked at that situation and thought they could ever do better than 8-4 was just kidding themselves, right? So
yeah, it was going to be tough. You lost, and you know how pivotal centers are. They might be the most important people on the field.
I agree.
And they lost one.
Always.
Yeah. McCoy. A starter for the Saints this year.
No,
he's a good one. He is a dang good player, too.
But there's still – Jimbo still has a quarterback who is not – whatever you want to say about Kellen Mond, we expected him. He did not take the step up to start the season that we were expecting, and as a pocket passer. And he's not a classic pocket passer, and he's probably not going to be one, but he's played better as the season's gone on, and he feels more comfortable. Let's remember, they also lost out on a good running back. I mean, there were some elements where the Aggies weren't where they needed to be. Physically,
for sure,
on the roster, based on injury, they had a really good young tight end. They're going to have two tight ends, young tight ends. Like, within 2 years, everyone's going to be talking about how they're
– Wiedermeyer and Cup,
other one, is going to be all anyone's talking about at some point because there are two big-time tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you see his production, his passing has gotten better as Wiedermeyer has actually become a bigger part of their scheme.
Yeah.
You know, when Wiedermeyer started really stepping up and making plays and the quarterback started feeling very comfortable getting him the ball, he's one of the few players on the field that A&M has that's even getting yards after contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I turn on the film and I'm watching, you know, LSU or Alabama, and these guys are catching balls, running with them after the catch. You know, that's a novelty idea. A&M wasn't doing that, right? Until this freshman tight end started getting the ball and you know, busting out for 10, 15, 20 yards. You're like, whoa. So you can progress the ball forwards after you catch it.
This is a thing. I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, man. I thought this was like 1908 yaks. Or something.
What the hell is this yak? Yeah. And then a freshman running back is, for the next couple of years, things are going to look pretty good offensively. Now, that said, you got to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, he's recruiting good quarterbacks. I mean, Kellen's obviously got to step up and do his part. But, I mean, I think Kellen's a solid, good player. Yeah, he's not. He may not be elite. He may not be Joe Burrow, but who is, you know? I mean, he's a guy that can get you up and down the field. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes with the ball, at least recently. And, you know, he's a guy that can win in crunch time.
I think
you know, he really is.
I am interested to see who the next big quarterback is going to be that they bring in, but – you know, you mentioned Joe Burrow. I want to get to him in a second. So I was part of an article. I was interviewed. I don't know if he quoted me, but I was interviewed by Robert Mays from The Ringer about the rise of Joe Burrow and stuff like that. And I saw ESPN's doing something. This is a highly unusual thing where a guy transfers from Ohio State, right? Comes in, gets off to a really bad start at LSU, just kind of becomes a forgotten guy. Has four big games at the end of the year, but one is against Rice. He had a big game against Texas A&M. He had a big game against, like, two nobodies. Texas A&M, and then, like, East Carolina in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. So, statistically, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions over his last four games. But you're just thinking, well, okay.
I thought he was like a Kellen Mond type.
Yeah, right? So then he comes in, and all of a sudden this year, they change up the offense, and LSU always has talent. But I just think this is such a fascinating story where you have a guy who doesn't have overwhelming athletic or physical gifts, and yet he just was waiting. I think it was all internal in terms of all the intangibles and all the internal stuff that he needed, which was poise. He always had the toughness, things like that. And then it's just a matter of unlocking through number one, let's not forget, through play. You can get much, much better as a college football player when you're actually playing.
Well, your initial assessment, though, that not athletic.
No, he's athletic. No,
he was an All-State basketball and football player.
Athletic gifts, meaning I'm also – I shouldn't say his physical gifts, meaning arm strength. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Tua. He's not Deshaun. But he is an athletic runner.
Oh, I think
he's
we know what you runner. Mean. That he's not, deceptively fast.
He is.
He's a try-hard guy.
He is a try-hard quarterback.
He's a coach's
son.
But the fact is,
he throws it like he's not going to bust a wet paper sack. I mean, he doesn't have a big arm, but mentally he's much better. But there is something to – and this is an area that Texas A&M always had a lot of problems with. Sherman used to recruit great. Mm-hmm. R.C. Slocum did a good job of, I think, developing players. But then Sumlin and Sherman, they recruited well, but you didn't see players develop. Mack Brown did a terrible job of developing players. Where was this Jamal Charles for the 3 years at Texas? Where was this Priest Holmes? Where was it? Like, we went on and on about how Derek. For Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Derek, linebacker.
Johnson.
Derek Johnson. He was amazing as a freshman and sophomore and then didn't get any better. One of the things
how long a pro career?
Well, see, one of the things that's happening is you are starting to see he had a tremendous pro career. Yeah. He got better.
Well, okay,
developing players is a real thing.
I guess so that's a question too. Who made themselves more money this season, Joe Burrow or Joe Brady?
Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Joe Brady is going to make quarterback's going to make a huge.
Where's Joe? What's going to happen with Joe Brady? That's interesting.
LSU's already allegedly offered him like big deal, but I don't think he stays. I would be surprised. Hey, would you not even think about right now a program that needs a head coach, Joe Brady?
If I'm a program that needs a head coach and I'm Joe Brady, I'm cashing in.
Absolutely. 100%.
Because this, you don't know that this isn't lightning in a bottle.
Oh, supposedly. Right?
I don't know who the next quarterback's going to be, but he ain't going to be Joe Burrow.
The rumor is Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, he's going to be going to Arkansas, yeah.
Because that's where he's from, and supposedly it's a win-win for, like, Gus kind of wants out. They want him out.
Yeah.
So Gus may go there. But Joe Brady, you also have to decide if a guy's a really good offensive coach or if he's a head coach. Those are two different things.
Right, but that's what you have to do with every coordinator, though.
Yeah.
You don't know that with any coordinator.
The interview will be huge for a guy like Joe Brady.
Yep. All right, 828, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Time to be a champion. And if you're looking to save that money, if you're looking for Steve McKinney money, okay, all you got to do, here's the first thing. You want, I don't care if it's your business or your home, you want to spend as little as possible on your electricity, right? Well, why would you want to spend more on your electricity? That's just, to me, is just ridiculous. All you have to do is go to 1560energy.com. That's 1560energy.com. And you, my friends, are going to benefit from the greatness that is 1560energy.com. Save money. Stop paying more. Go to 1560energy.com.
This Veterans Day, ESPN 97.5 says thank you to all who have served and sacrificed. We thank you. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Steve McKinney in studio. Look at what I tweeted out. Steve McKinney in studio. I'm loving it. Not him so much, the food. Look at that. He brought all kinds of McDonald's with him. He brought McCafe. He brought one.
Yeah.
McGriddles. Okay.
Did you guys McGriddles. Want a coffee order? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. Get that. Sausage and egg biscuit. Dal, did you get one? Yeah. See, he doesn't take advantage of situations.
He's probably vegan.
Okay. He's vegan Dal. That's you.
You're a vegan.
You're
Dal.
A vegan. Embarrassing.
And you leave food kidding, on Dal. Top of your car and drive away, and you're laughing at me?
Yeah.
I did?
You leave your keys on top. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you laughing at?
I didn't leave food on top.
What are you
your
laughing
shoes,
at?
You do.
That's what. That was
you left your
ago.
Charger at Prime Social?
Yeah. Yeah. That was Friday.
Yeah. It just
a
happened.
Long time ago. Hey, come hang out with me today, two-a-day, sports bar in Pearland. You going to come down?
Is this what you do? You just hang out at sports bars?
Actually, yes, I am. It's 100%. For Coors Light. It's actually.
He drinks Coors Light, plays golf, and plays poker.
That's pretty much it.
That's a pretty good life there.
I'll be there from 5:30 to 7:30, having a few Coors Lights, talking sports, having a good time, right off Beltway 8 at Pearland Parkway. 5:30 to 7:30, me and you, two-a-days, sports bar in Pearland. I know Kevin Robler is going to be there. Uncle Freddie, it's right down the street from Uncle Freddie's house.
You know what I just realized? You're retired, but you do a show in the morning, but it's kind of like you've retired but still – just talk about sports.
I start my life at 11 o'clock. That's all. I would be sleeping until then anyway.
He's drinking like, this sounds just like retirement.
You just figured this out?
Yeah, I just figured it out.
Dude, if I was retired, I'd sleep till 11. So it's the same thing.
Nobody's got it better than John.
No.
Nobody.
Well, no. Okay. All right. Okay.
His wife is living the life. His wife was just named president and GM of Channel 13.
Yeah.
Nobody does have it better.
No. Yeah. So anyway, we were just talking. What a wasted opportunity it would be for LSU to win that game, go and win the SEC championship. But I think you can honestly. I saw AJ and Barry were having an argument on Twitter. Barry said, "You cannot. I don't want to hear one more thing about Ohio State being number one. That's just stupid." And AJ came back and blah blah, and they were going back and forth. You can believe with your human eyes that Ohio State is the best team in the country. That's not you. You have an argument there,
sure.
But resume wise, no. I don't think there is an argument.
Zero.
There's no. When you're beating the teams that LSU has beaten so far,
you went and beat Alabama at Alabama.
Right.
You beat Auburn, you beat Florida,
right?
Those are three top ten,
and wins. Texas at Texas,
and yeah, forget about them.
Yeah,
you know they're trash, but they were top ten,
right, at the time.
Air quotes at the time. So, right. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but that was a good game too. I mean, that was a hostile environment. Texas got a lot of talent. They went down there and they won that game.
It was
pretty
a game,
convincingly.
Like, but it was a game at one point, back and forth. It was no one could stop each other.
But Texas never. Got within like two scores.
No, they did. They were within a score.
And then LSU would go
in the fourth,
up again.
And then LSU would go score again.
So that's what I'm saying. It was kind of like the Alabama Oklahoma game in the playoffs last year, where Oklahoma was going back and forth with them, but it was never really, You were never really in doubt of the outcome.
No. And Alabama jumped out on them early on. But here's the thing. Arguments about number one is the most irrelevant conversation
in just the world.
It doesn't matter anymore. You could, well, I think LSU should be one. I think Ohio State, who cares? As long as you're top four, it's irrelevant. You're going to play for the number one.
Well, the only thing that matters is who you would see in the first
round. Will be
Don't want Ohio State, LSU in the first round.
Well, if you're those two teams, you don't want to see each other.
No, you don't want to see them. Although you could make your argument, get it done.
Do you want to see Clemson?
Well, there's another. Is the fourth team going to be, I mean, it may be very advantageous to be the number one team, especially if Alabama's not the fourth team. If Oregon is the fourth team, how much easier is that than playing Clemson or Ohio State?
Yeah,
that's huge.
Huge.
Well, I mean, here's what I want to know. What happens in the scenario where Alabama has one loss, Georgia has one loss, and LSU goes in and loses to Georgia in the SEC championship?
So Georgia would have to have two losses because they've already lost, right?
They've lost once, but if Georgia beats LSU.
Oh, if they win.
Three one-loss
SEC teams. Georgia and LSU go.
You think?
Georgia and LSU go.
Do you really think that the committee would put a team that just lost their championship game back in the playoffs?
I've seen it happen.
I think they deserve it. I think the resume would deserve it. I just think that would be...
It'd be tricky.
That would be difficult.
It'd be tricky. We got to see what would happen.
We've seen a team that didn't even get in the playoff get there. Make the playoff.
I would think even Alabama might have a better shot than LSU losing the championship game.
If they lost late, if LSU loses late.
It's just like last year with Alabama-Georgia. Georgia loses, they don't get in. And that's what I'm saying. What if that happened to LSU? That would be the only thing that could, to me, really derail their chances because.
Well, Georgia did get in with a loss.
Not last year.
The year before. Georgia was a final.
Because they beat Auburn. They didn't lose the SEC title game.
Oh, they beat, that's right, Auburn. But Alabama got in and didn't even make the SEC championship.
That's what I'm saying. The committee has shown that they'll put a team in the playoffs that didn't make it to the championship game, but they haven't put a championship game loser.
Right.
So, I mean, that scenario is one that...
Well, this if it's undefeated LSU, it would be hard, even if they lose. If they lose a close game to Georgia, it would be hard to keep them out, say that they weren't one of the best teams.
How puckered up will you be going into that game?
Georgia's a good team.
They are.
Georgia's a good team.
They got talent. Now, they've shown that they can play like crap, but they obviously...
I feel like A&M is going to be a lot harder. Where is that game?
At LSU.
I still think that is going to end up being a trickier game. Georgia, this doesn't feel like it's over yet. We're going to see some really...
The problem in all this scary
things. Who else does LSU have besides A&M?
Yeah, but the problem is we're forgetting that A&M has to go to Georgia first.
Yeah, they're at Georgia before they go to LSU.
Yeah,
so they're
going to
get beat up on. They got South Carolina at home.
Or they could be...
At Georgia, at LSU.
If they beat
LSU.
Georgia, does that change SEC East?
The
Aggies were to beat Georgia. Does that change the SEC?
Well, Florida has the two losses, so no.
And Georgia beat Florida.
Yeah, so Georgia.
Georgia's still.
So what if we have? So what if we had something where A&M beats a two-loss Georgia? They beat Georgia, who's now a two-loss team that beat LSU in the SEC championship game. They may have a more difficult time. LSU staying in the top four if they lose to a two-loss Georgia team. I would say they shouldn't. For the sake of argument.
That might be a scenario where you see Alabama.
Yeah, for sure. So I think,
but I don't know how, if LSU loses to Georgia in the championship game, you could take Alabama over LSU. I don't see how you could take them.
I think that could potentially happen.
I could see.
That would be weird for LSU to go, but LSU played Alabama heads up in Alabama.
No, that would make sense.
But it's still, they always look at what did you do last? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the most recent?
The recency tends to hurt, but it's real. We'll see. It could go according to Hoyle, and LSU went out, and they're number one or number two, with Ohio State being one or two. Clemson just handling a lesser competition of their conference. But Clemson always finds trouble somewhere in this year, too. There's always some – maybe they already had it with – who was it, North Carolina? So maybe they've already had their concerning game where North Carolina screwed up on the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But that was probably the game. So it could go exactly as we think, and then it could turn into Bama or Oregon. Or if somehow...
That'll be the most interesting thing, I think. An Oregon Pac-12 champion.
What about Ohio State beaten by
By Minnesota?
Yeah.
Or Michigan? Or
did they fall completely out after the year they've had?
Oof. I mean, not if they finish undefeated.
No.
If they were to lose late
if they
the
drop
season.
One to Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying, yeah, this is the most, to me, this is, I felt like it was going to be the case, although some of the teams I expected Georgia and Michigan to be bigger factors, and Michigan
like Georgia's out of it.
No, they're not. They're not.
Right in the middle.
I just don't see the same Georgia team I've seen in the past. That's the only thing.
No, you're right. They're not. They're not.
And John mentioned, if Baylor somehow pulls off two wins against Oklahoma.
Dude, did you really just bring up Baylor?
I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen.
How they've won like their last three games is mind-boggling. Like literally the Big 12 Saturday almost completely blew up. Like Oklahoma almost could have lost. Texas almost could have lost.
Oh, yeah.
Baylor should have lost. Had to hit a 51-yard field goal at time expiring.
To tie TCU.
Yeah.
9-9.
Then they took their overtime touchdown away from TCU. So, I mean, it's just, dude, if those three games would have gone the other way, mm-hmm. the Big 12 would have completely imploded into itself.
Yeah, but TCU, in the first overtime, did you see the catch that they counted for a touchdown?
Yes.
That was incredible.
It was a really unbelievable catch, but I thought, there's no chance he caught right. that. And yet,
and
here we go again. 842 ESPN 97.5. Tyler, well, you'll be first up on the other side. 713-780-3776. Got Steve McKinney in studio. Don't go anywhere.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
I know myself far too well.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
McDonald's All-American Steve McKinney in studio with us here on ESPN 97.5. You know, you're in McDonald's All-American. Back when you played, not so much.
No. It's more like a Jack-in-the-Box All-American. Did you know that the McDonald's All-American games are here in Houston this year?
Are they?
Yeah, they moved them from Chicago to Houston, Texas.
How about that?
It will be the McDonald's All-American basketball games.
How about that?
That'll be in, I think, either late March or April.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's sweet. Nice. Yeah.
Did you know that, Del?
Del didn't care. It's basketball.
Del cares about – I'll bet you care about McDonald's All-American games.
That may not have even been announced yet.
I mean, it's a big deal, I guess. I don't care, though. I don't watch the games.
No, I don't either. It's basically an NBA All-Star game. Everybody just go up and dunk as many times as possible. Tyler wants to talk about Baylor College Football Playoff. They're in right now. What's up, Tyler?
What up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
Hey, man, I'm not a big Baylor fan. I'm not a – Big 12 fan at all, really. I'm a Longhorn t-shirt fan, and my wife's an Aggie, so I watch a little bit of everything. But I think that a one-loss Oklahoma could potentially get in if the right teams lose. And the long shot, because, I mean, if Baylor goes undefeated, I think they have to go through Oklahoma twice. And, I mean, if Baylor is undefeated, you got to put them in, right?
Right.
I mean, I know their strength of schedule, and I guess once it all shakes out, there will be less undefeated teams. But if you're undefeated, you should probably be in with the exception of Clemson. I watched a lot of their football games this year, and they're just not what they were. Maybe they play down to their competition. But if Baylor wins out, I think they should be in. And that 9-9 overtime game, I had the overs on that.
Sweet. Give your money back. Give your money back.
Sir. So wait a minute. Yes, are you saying Clemson?
Thanks, man.
Are you saying Clemson shouldn't be in? They're in.
He doesn't think they're one of.
Well, they're but they're in.
He must have not watched since very early in the year.
Yeah it's been different. Been now they're not playing great teams now either.
Well, I know, but as far as what they look like, they're actually better defensively than they were last year, despite some of the losses, and they're destroying teams now.
They're in the 40s consistently, offensively now.
Yeah, they're. I mean, just like Ohio State this week, beating up on Maryland 73 to whatever. But they did what they were supposed to do. But it doesn't mean that that was any better. That they should be ahead of LSU. I mean, no.
John is so defensive about the LSU.
Who was bringing up LSU?
I know. No, one even said anything about
AJ
LSU.
And Barry?
No one's. Mark just made a phone call.
Okay.
Are you getting up? I mean, not AJ, Mark, the other guy.
Tyler.
Tyler just made a phone call. He's just talking college football.
But Tyler said, with the exception of Clemson, Clemson's in. Clemson is in.
Yes, if they went out.
And look at the only team that you could say might be a good win, Wake Forest, they lost to Virginia Tech this week. I mean,
no,
Wake Forest is your competition.
I would tell you also, you're not playing very good offenses at all. This defense in no way is better than last year's. Maybe statistically, Dale, you're talking about, but when you watch them, there's just no way. I mean, you're talking about four NFL draft picks on the front. You know, their defensive line. That's not what you have.
But
now.
You haven't even had a chance to see them against an elite offense yet.
No.
So we don't really know. Because I think they could potentially be even better despite losing that much talent.
We'll see.
Up front.
Well, except against a freshman in North Carolina, a true freshman early points. In the season. They should have lost the game.
That they scored, that they gave up, what, 20 points to?
Yeah.
So let's not act like they're giving up 30
No,
points,
defensively, you know? The numbers look really,
but
really
not,
good.
But who have they played?
That's what I'm saying. I wonder what will happen if they face off against
LSU.
Bama, Ohio State, and LSU, that's major. That's a major test.
Let's face it, Bama might not get in because there's Alabama fatigue. Mm-hmm. I think they shouldn't get in.
I hope they don't get in.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people hope they don't get in.
They
but
lost
let's face
home.
It, those are the best four teams in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, LSU are the four best.
For sure.
Yeah. Mark is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Steve, it's Uncle Mark. I was just calling in to ask how come I've never gotten any free McDonald's. I've got some stories I could tell.
Uncle Mark.
Uncle Mark is.
Uncle Mark said he's never gotten any free McDonald's.
Mark, come on, man. Keep out me on the radio, man. You know you can get free McDonald's anytime you come, man. You just let me know, brother. I'll hook you up.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that for all of us?
No.
Is that for everybody?
Just family.
Just for family. Just for family. Blood.
Oh. Is this really Seth?
No.
Does Seth get free McDonald's?
No. Seth? No. Yeah. He can pay for his own.
No, family
Seth
is in.
Never.
Family is in uncles and aunts. Not like immediate.
Yeah, Uncle Mark, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime, brother.
Yeah.
Anytime.
What about Uncle John right over here? What about some No. How about, hey, is Steve, every McDonald's I go to now, I'm going to go, hey, is Steve here? Because he said I could get some free
Steve who?
Big Macs.
They've already been trained. To just say no.
No. They have my picture up there that says say no to this man?
No, they've already been trained. Like, if anybody comes in claiming to know me,
yeah.
Like, it's just an automatic no.
No.
I have to be there.
It's an automatic
then,
no. Do you...
you'll hide
apps,
the back?
Are you making, like, are the apps a big deal now? Because I saw you are DoorDash or whatever.
Yeah, DoorDash.
The delivery Uber, stuff. Is that a big deal, delivery for you yet?
It will be. I mean, we do quite a bit of delivery, yeah. Quite a bit. It's not, 5% maybe of the business.
Yeah.
It is? No, really?
Still
nothing
not bad.
Huge, yeah.
Huh. David wants to get in here and talk about college football
Thanks,
player.
Mark. Good talking to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning, fellas. As a Baylor grad, I think Cinderella, I think that's going to end Saturday, but it's been a great run. And Lance, I wanted to talk to you specifically. I think 2 years ago, you were talking about Matt Rhule and how quickly he would turn around the Baylor program, and you were on target with that. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether or not he would be a Coach of the Year candidate this year.
Mm-hmm. Should be. He and P.J. Fleck.
Well, he'll be a finalist for the
He and P.J. Fleck should absolutely be.
Yeah, Bear Bryant. He'll be a finalist.
And so his Temple teams, what he did at Temple was outstanding. And I couldn't talk to anybody who wasn't shocked that he took on Baylor. Everyone was like, wow, this guy's a rising star. Why in the world would you take the Baylor
job? And why did he take that long contract, too?
That's like Bill O'Brien taking the job after Bill O'Brien taking the job after
at Penn State, yeah.
At Penn State after all the stuff that went on at Penn State, and then James Franklin going there shortly thereafter, which you could understand James Franklin, but that really, well, because Matt Rhule can take on that contract and it's irrelevant, no matter what anyone says.
Yeah, right.
He's under contract till 2027. Okay. Yeah. Oh, a college coach is under contract. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure he'll love it there in 2027.
Plus, he went from the American to the Big 12. I mean, you can see. I understand it with Baylor.
I think his idea was.
But he also saw, hey, Art won at Baylor.
Recruiting, yes. And recruiting Texas talent is still a really big deal. You can get three stars at Texas.
Yes.
He was used to recruiting three stars and two stars at Temple. Three stars from Texas are going to be different. A lot of times they're going to be better players. You're going to have a chance to get in on some of the guys that Texas may say, okay, we've already offered. See, this is what's happening too. A lot of teams who you have to offer a crap ton of scholarships early now. And so you get filled up early. And so these late bloomers and these late risers and the guys who are really good football players who might not have the best size or the best speed or whatever it is, they kind of fall through the cracks. And they're, for somebody who recognizes talent and is a good evaluator, well, you can scoop them up and turn them into a good football team. Yeah. I mean, that's why the guys like Chris Peterson from Boise, they had good talent. There have been coaches like this for years and years. Urban Meyer at Utah, for years and years, who recognize what talent looks like. They develop talent. And you get him to believe in it. And, you know, honestly, he might have looked at the Big 12 and said, hey, Texas can be a factor, but they're not always a factor. TCU comes and goes. They're hot, they're cold, they're hot, they're cold. And Oklahoma's the constant. Oklahoma State can be in the mix. But I think he just looked at this as Texas is a big deal. To be in this state is a big deal to be in the football. Yeah.
He's done a heck of a job, and you got to give the guy credit.
Yep. Well, they're not getting big recruits like Donnell Harris, like y'all just did.
Is that right?
Yeah. Donnell Harris. I tell you what,
Jimbo,
Texas A&M.
I'll tell you one thing, Jimbo. If you look at the stats, he's recruited better in the last 2 years than A&M's ever recruited, just by stars and average recruit ranking. Like this, just these last 2 years have been better than any time in A&M history.
Hmm.
So you can see that the program's on the rise.
Absolutely.
It's coming, baby.
Absolutely.
You better get ready. Orgeron. We're going to roll. You know,
roll tide. What? You. I love that. Dell, you going to play that or not? Roll tide. What? You.
For those who
don't
know.
That's my coach right there.
Unfortunately, it's a player recorded it and then put it out there because he wanted the cred. That's something that should have just stayed in the. That should have just stayed in the.
Yeah, but I love
it. It was funny listening to it, but that's one, when it's all said and done,
it won't be great.
They're not going to be happy that they put that out there because that was meant for the players, the players and coach. It's a bond.
You lose trust in a player like that. You know, when you do something like that, I mean, you break the code.
Yep.
You don't take stuff outside the locker room.
Yep. Antonio Brown did that in the locker room. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Other players just kind of outcast you at that point. Like you're just.
Yeah, unless he's a he's a really, really good player, then they go, hey, stop doing that.
Yeah, don't do that again.
All right, Steve McKinney, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for
always fun, guys. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you hanging with us right here. Go to a local McDonald's, and if you see Steve there, say, hey Steve, how about buy me something?
If it's not mine, just leave and go find one
of Steve's. All right, man, we appreciate it. Steve McKinney in studio with us right here on ESPN 97.5, where Heel joins us on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.